Well, actually, when I saw that press release, I was equally curious about toxicity, because we already talked about your work looking at pneumonitis, and obviously chemoradiation therapy is certainly associated with that problem. It looked like from what they saw, it didn't really seem that much, and I wonder what your thoughts were. And also, do you think that people who had the beginnings of pneumonitis got pulled out of the study, or, what do you think about those data?
Yeah, it's a good question. I'm not sure how rigid the restrictions were in terms of eligibility for those that had some evidence of radiation pneumonitis, but my general sense with radiation pneumonitis is that it occurs a bit later. And so may have not even been, even those patients that did have radiation pneumonitis, it wouldn't have been obvious at the time they were being considered for the study anyways. I agree with you that my sense of the toxicity data was very encouraging and that there was not any substantial increase in pneumonitis that would make me cautious about using it. And maybe it speaks to one of the things we were talking before about the relative safety of PD-L1 drugs in terms of causing pneumonitis. And maybe it justifies a particular use of that therapy in this setting, as opposed to assuming a broader use of PD-1 drugs also.
When you look at, I assume there are data on this, I guess, or certainly clinical experience, the typical natural history of chemoradiation-associated pneumonitis. First of all, what fraction of patients get it? I mean, obviously, individual variables. And then when they do develop it, what fraction get it right afterwards or very, very close time? And what fraction, as you say, are delayed?
Yeah. I don't know the specific data, but from my own experience, it seems like the rate of radiation pneumonitis after chemo-rads is probably in the order of 25% to 33%. My sense is that it usually occurs in the second to third month after treatment, as opposed to right after. And I think they usually require fairly long course of steroids. In that way, the response to steroids seems a little bit slower than the response to steroids in patients that have autoimmune toxicities.
So it sounds like you are kind of ready to change your practice. And I'm curious, so this is going to be a year, right? Okay, so a couple of issues would be, first of all, I don't know how often you would see early radiation pneumonitis prior to when you would start the durvalumab. I guess you start it right afterwards, or do you wait a while?
I think most people probably will start pretty soon thereafter. If
So like
somebody,
within a week or something?
I would guess within a month.
Okay, so within a month.
Yeah.
So if you have a patient who's maybe coughing a little bit, you got a little bit of stranding or whatever,
Yeah.
if you had a patient who was beginning to show that, would you still use the durvalumab?
I might lean against it, to be honest. I think in somebody that had clear evidence of pneumonitis, I think one, they would need to probably be on steroids for that. And I think then the relative benefit of durvalumab probably be diminished, both because of the potential risk of furthering the pneumonitis and the concurrent steroids.
And I guess, and maybe with time, we'll start to see more details from the study to see what actually happened with these patients. But based on what you were talking about, you would assume that even in the control group, as you said, 25-35% of them are going to start to get pneumonitis during the year.
Right.
So, but they're going to be on durvalumab.
Yeah.
So, first of all, I assume, would you stop the durvalumab?
I probably would for some of the same reasons, both the need for steroids and the fact that it'd be hard to know which one's which.
And not restart it.
Probably not. And I think the retreatment data we were talking about before probably speaks to there's a pretty reasonable chance if you restart it, it's going to come back. My hope is that many patients may derive a bulk of the benefit from some of the early doses, such that maybe in the future we'll better understand just how long of therapy you need. Is a year necessary? I'm not sure. My guess is that for many of the people who truly benefit, some of the first 2 to 6 doses might be most important, especially when we think to some of the cases we've talked about already where people can have a complete pathologic response to just 2 doses of therapy.